Thanks for joining us for this episode. And before we get started, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you may listen to podcasts. If you want to learn more about any guest featured in this episode or access any content or resources discussed, be sure to check out the show notes in the episode description. We hope today's episode increases truth and inspires hope in the lives of your church, your business, your family, and beyond. Welcome to the Must.
Hey there, welcome to this episode, and I am joined again by a guest we've had in the past, Mike Lester, who is the president of Veritas Baptist College. And so, hey, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, Luke, thanks for having me back on again. Looking forward to today's conversation.
Yes, yeah, and if you caught the last episode, we were, the last episode with you, we were talking about just the pros and cons, really, of on-campus education versus online. And now we kind of set that up to talk about a couple of different topics. First of all, we wanted to talk about, you know, and I think we'll start here on if you are, because we have a lot of pastors, church leaders in our audience that may be considering furthering their education. And so we want to talk about like why you should do that, why you should think about that, and then obviously why you should consider online learning. And then after that, I really am looking forward to talking about just kind of the future of higher education in general on a much broader scale. And we touched on that some in the previous episode, but let's start though with kind of, like I said, this idea that, hey, I'm a pastor, I'm an assistant youth pastor, whatever it may be. Or maybe I'm just a layman in my church and I want to get more involved, learn more, whatever it may be. Yeah. Let's talk about why, first of all, why you should consider that. I think a lot of people, if they get to a certain age, they go, "Eh, school's not for me. I had my chance. I'm done." But let's talk about, first of all, hey, why should you actually consider higher education, even if you are quote unquote older?
Yeah, that's great. I mentioned in our last episode, the average age student for us is somewhere 26, 27 years old. To your point, though, we have people that are 50s and 60s that are pursuing degrees. So while we have a balance or a median age, that's not who we're only reaching. When somebody asks me, hey, Mike, why should I consider another degree, either finishing what I like, it's so many different variables. Sometimes I'll hear somebody who say, you know, I started a bachelor's degree and then God opened a door and I started pastoring. I'm already in the ministry. Why should I finish that? Or, hey, look, I gave a school 4 years. Whatever they didn't teach me, I must not need it. So why should I go for more? And so different variables. I typically give three reasons why someone should consider an advanced degree or finishing a degree. The first reason I give is usually historical. Here's what's happened in many, many circles of Christianity today when it comes to Christian education. Not all of them, but many of them. It's almost as if we have de-elevated education and elevated experience. Hmm. So we have people that are in a classroom that they're teaching, but maybe they didn't even finish a bachelor's or they only finished a bachelor's, but they have a lot of this experience. And so we've sort of said, look, I know I was actually discouraged in the group I grew up in to stay after college to get an advanced degree. You just need to get out of the ministry and get the experience. Historically, however, most pastors in every denomination didn't even start pastoring until they had at least finished an MDiv, Master of Divinity, which is usually 90 to 96 credits beyond the bachelor's. Hmm. To tell somebody that at 18 years old, hey, you want to be a pastor one day? All right, you got to have these 4 years plus an additional 3 years. You'd probably scare most of them away.
Yeah.
But historically, there was an emphasis that you don't have to choose education over experience or experience over education. You can actually have both. Hmm. You just need to be patient and to allow the cycle to hit all of the cycles through the process. And so I just say there's a historical precedence for pastors and ministry leaders to have a wealth of knowledge that exceeds the bachelor's level. Hmm. So I would just say, I don't know why we lost that. but I don't know that it was the best decision we could have made. We could have still elevated experience with education. One of the things that I have at my disposal, since we're remote, I don't have to ask somebody to move to my city to teach for me. So when I'm looking for teachers, or our department heads are looking for teachers, we're looking for people that have ministry experience currently. They're like involved in ministry, but they also have the credential degrees. And I think bringing both of those together, I think that's a win-win.
Absolutely.
Plus, there's a historical reason. Secondly, I typically talk about a personal reason. I think it's important for ministry leaders to keep growing. Some people, you don't have to get credit for it. You can, in fact, at Veritas, we have free courses. We have 50 or 60 free courses people can take at our Truth Matters Institute that they can just take for free. And we're happy they do. But sometimes people need the structure, the discipline to say, hey, you are going to get this degree and you're going to have this due every single week. And it's sort of that mentality a pastor is used to. Sunday is always coming. Mm-hmm. So to actually implement the personal development of personal growth and to keep growing personal development, you could say it this way, sharpening the axe.
Yeah.
You remember sometimes when you were in Bible college, there were some teachers who had fresh, relevant illustrations and statistics. And then there were some who were still talking about statistics from fundamentalism in the 1980s. Why? Well, because they didn't continue interacting with the academy, if you will. And I just think having your foot in both worlds, ministry experience and education, keeps all of us sharp and helps us better equip the next generation. And that brings me to my third point, which is a ministry reason to consider advanced degrees. If you will pursue a master's or an MDiv or a terminal degree, a doctorate of education or doctorate of ministry, you're opening up further doors for ministry influence, not just at Veritas, but so, and this will get to where we're heading in a moment, but so many colleges are now offering online education or distance education. Why not take 8 weeks of your time and teach there and have another impact outside the walls of your four doors at your church, the four walls of your church? And a little, it's a great way to bring a little bit of income in on the side. But what opens the door to even have that opportunity are the advanced degrees, to open doors for future ministry, expanding your own ministry influence. I just think those are good reasons to consider.
Yeah, yeah, and I remember, of course, I'm a co-host and producer of Brian Sam's podcast, and I remember him talking.
Sure.
Of course, he's one of the instructors there, and you know, he has talked about, at this point, I know he's got a doctorate. I'm not quite sure exactly all of the degrees and letters and all that, but he has talked about exactly what you're saying, how that has opened up doors. Sure. For him to continue to educate and help, and even from a financial standpoint, have other income, you know, because that is something, and again, not to, you know, chase the rabbit too far, but that is something I think that pastors have to consider is, you know, the need for you to bring in some other type of income outside of what your church can pay you. It seems to be becoming more relevant, or at least people are becoming more aware of it. And I like what Brian has said about it on his podcast in the past. Nate Skelly, who does finances, and he's been on this podcast. I've been on his. He has talked about that and call it bifocational, co-vocational. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to be able to go get a master's, get a doctorate, and be a college instructor. But it does, like you said, give you potentially more opportunities. And I think there's just, and you already said this, whether you pursue a degree or not, I do think that you have to have a mindset of growth and a mindset of continued education, whether you're getting accredited degrees or not. You know, I think one of the biggest downfalls of kind of my 20s, if you will, my early adult life, whatever you call it, after college, for the first few years, is once I finished college, I thought, well, I kind of know everything I need to know, right? And really there was a span there, again, for probably most of my 20s, where I just wasn't really doing much to continue to learn and grow and at least in an intentional way. You know, I just was kind of like, oh, again, I know everything I need to know, right? You know, it wasn't until later, and I talked about this in our last episode, where I discovered, actually, somebody bought me, I never would have bought them for myself, but somebody bought me a pair of AirPods. You know, they knew I liked Apple stuff. So they got it for me for my birthday. And, you know, I was like, oh, hey, thanks. You know, I don't know what I'll listen to some songs every once in a while. Well, then I stumbled across a podcasting app that just popped up in the App Store. And long story short, I started to continue learning, you know, by then that way. And that worked really well for me. And as silly as it sounds, podcasting in that way, listening to podcasts and just taking interest and continuing to develop myself in that way really changed the trajectory of now what's been several years. And so all that to say, whether you, I think you would agree, whether you actually get a degree or sure. actually accredited class, it's, there is a mindset there that has to be there regardless yeah, yeah. of how you pursue it. And that kind of leads me to a question I think could transition us into the next phase of our conversation here. Is there a difference, if you will, maybe, or I don't know how to word this, but essentially I would like to maybe take a moment to compare and contrast the difference between being credentialed versus being educated. You know, so for example, somebody can be educated by reading, by listening, and again, I always make the joke, if I could get credit hours for the amount of podcasts I listen to, YouTube videos I watch, man, I have several PhDs, you know?
Dr. Luke.
Yeah, and I, exactly. But then there's what you're talking about in terms of formal education is where, well, you're getting educated, obviously, but you're also getting credentialed. And maybe talking through, like, again, maybe some pros and cons of each, and again, how those differentiate, but how they compare and contrast.
Yeah, that's a great question. When you think about in my world, the world I live in, I don't have the benefit to choose one or the other. If I'm going to teach in a college setting, I need the credentials. But I will say now that the credentials are passed, I'm still involved in education. So I subscribe to something called Master Lectures, which is put up by Zondervan. It's a yearly subscription, I think about $200 a year, something like that. And so right now I'm going through Gregory Kukul's tactics class. He's physically teaching it. I've read through the book multiple times, but now I'm hearing him teach through it. I've gone through biblical language courses with those. I've gone through other apologetics courses with those. Why? Because here's guys that are in that field, they're continually learning, and I'm benefiting from that, which makes me a better teacher. I don't know that I have to choose one or the other. I think what determines which is best, and that's a subjective word, really depends on my future goals. If I just want to keep sharpening the axe and be the best servant that I can be, then the free courses at TMI and investing in a reading club and getting involved in something like Master Lectures at Zondervan, as long as I have vetted good material, good embedded material, then that's wonderful. If, however, I want to be able to give back to the next generation, not just from my pulpit, but in a formal setting, I need the credentials too.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think it goes back to, like you said, what are your end goals, you know? But I also think a distinction, I think you touched on this, that can be made is, you know, don't think just because you're getting the credentials that means that you're necessarily getting educated. Because I can testify, it's not that I didn't learn in college, but I also, you know, I was able to get in and get out, do my thing. And also probably, like I said, in the previous episode, I'm not the greatest student. I probably could have gotten more out of my education if I really tried. And so I may have got the credentials, but as far as my time there, did I make the most of being actually educated? I don't know. That's up for debate. And so I think there's a distinction there of, you know, just because you do the time, get the degree, pass the test, if you will, doesn't necessarily mean that you got the education, which again, I think goes back to mindset. You just have to have that mindset of, I can always learn, I can always grow in that way. If you had another thought there.
Let me speak to that. Yeah, to that point, in our previous episode, we also talked about one of the benefits or pros of online learning was the flexibility. So think back when you were 18, if you were only taking two or three classes at a time instead of working and six classes at a time, would you have gotten more out of it?
Yeah, I mean, probably. you know, if we're honest, you know,
potentially. Yes.
It was likely.
So you would have then had an education and a credential. In other words, you wouldn't have had to choose either or. Yeah.
See, my thing was I had a mindset of just getting out as quick as possible. And I don't know if you remembered, but I did. I was able to finish early and so forth. And I actually, I'll never forget coming to your office. I don't know if you remember this. Come to your office at the beginning of what would have been my third year and saying, hey, I've done the math. If I really, you know, just cram in the, I can finish. I can, my third year can be my last year. And you said, yeah, Luke, but your GPA is struggling here. So you said, I'll make an exception because there was a policy where if you didn't have a certain GPA, you couldn't take over, I think it was 18 credits, but you said, hey, I'll make an exception and you can take 19. Okay. I was like, okay. Or no, that was, you said, I'll make an exception. You can take 21. You let me take 21. But you said, you gotta get that GPA up. Well, I didn't get the GPA up. But I passed all my classes. So my last semester rolls around. I needed 18 to finish. I needed 19 to finish, but I was only legally allowed, if you will, 18. And I came to your office and I said, it's one credit. And you were like, fine. You're so generous, so merciful. But again,
that's why I'm on your podcast today.
Exactly. I'll never forget. Again, and that's just call it immaturity, whatever it was, you know, but yeah, I do think if I would have been more intentional about, hey, let's get an education and not just, cause I think that was my mindset was get in, get out, get my degree. That's what I'm here for. And so, you know, again, with maturity and wisdom and experience, things change, but yeah, so that kind of leads me then to the part of the conversation that I'm particularly fascinated with, which is discussing the future of higher education in general. First of all, you know, I imagine, again, I think about as a father now, I think about, okay, 10 years, if you will, my daughter's six. So 12, I guess technically 12 years, she'll be, you know, we'll be preparing for college and I know it'll be here before I know it. Okay. So, first of all, man, I just can't help but wonder, especially in a lot of the, I don't know if it's particular to Christian education or just again, higher education as a whole. I do genuinely wonder though, how much on-campus learning will be not available necessarily, but valued, if that makes sense. Sure, because online just seems to be, it's certainly not shrinking. It is growing in popularity and so forth. And so maybe that's a good place to kind of start that topic of this conversation.
Yeah. So when I think about the future, I look at the past to get a sense of the trajectory. My last year when I was at West Coast before I resigned and then moved to working remotely here at Veritas, nearly a third of the students were online students. And then from the two thirds that were on campus, probably half of them would take online classes in the summer to do what you described, trying to finish early to save that money. If I could speed up the, not pay 4 years of room and board, but I have to three, then there's a motivation incentive there. So even, you know, going back 2-3 years ago, in the, not the Christian college, but the Bible college world, already a third of the students there were online. For reasons we discussed previously in a previous episode, you know, the flexibility, the affordability, the being able to stay plugged in where I'm at, all of that. When I think about the future where education goes, I think there'll probably always be brick and mortar schools. But I don't see them growing. Some will be, except there's always exceptions. But think of just everything we do. And you touched on this. I don't know if it was this episode or our previous one when you talked about it. You could basically stay at home and have your meals delivered by just clicking a button, by groceries. I'm going to read virtually everything. And be a hermit and still be connected, if I could use that word. So because that's the society where we want everything instant, to go to a brick and mortar and wait for this drip campaign for these lectures to be given out over 16 weeks, good or bad, that's not the current climate of our next generation of Christian leaders. So I think there's going to be more of a trend to the online. And then this is me, and I know some agree, maybe some disagree, but I also see more of a trending toward not necessarily pursuing the degree, but micro-credentialing. Mm-hmm. So, hey, I'm really involved. I'm really interested in counseling. Can I take your counseling certificate? I really have a heart for apologetics. Can I take your apologetics certificate? I really just want to know how to study the Bible, preach the Bible, have a good overview of the Bible. Can I take your biblical study certificate? I just think there's probably a trend in that direction. So what we do at Veritas, we just make those stackable. Yeah. So yeah, you can do the apologetic certificate, and oh, you want the counseling? Oh, by the way, you're halfway to a degree. Do you want to finish the degree? But we also understand that some people have no desire to finish a degree. They really are just interested in their credentials.
Well, I guess I didn't put two and two together that's how Veritas essentially operates. So you get, like you said, maybe an apologetic certification, but then you can roll that into a degree if you want. And I think that's a really good observation there, because I see that in society in general. I think it became somewhat popularized, probably not, this is just what comes to mind. I know in the world of technology, certification is big, because technology, I always tell people, I know people that went to college and maybe got a computer science degree, and that's all good and well, but those degrees where I'm like, by the time you finish, it's outdated, and so in the technology world, if you want to truly be in, and I'm not, I mean, I know my way around a computer, but I'm not in the IT world truly. But if you really want to be, you've got to get different certifications for, server management, network management, all these different, Microsoft offers different certifications. And so that's a big thing there. And a lot of times, and actually almost every time, if you're trying to get a job at a big, company, and a legit IT position, you can have a degree, doesn't matter. You have to have your certifications updated. And so this idea of, you called it micro-credentialing, that's a great term. I don't know if we can copyright it to you if you want. Just getting these, like you said, certifications and what matters to you, and potentially rolling that to agree, because I do think, and that leads to kind of the next thing I was going to talk about, there is definitely a shifting mindset in culture. And I would argue that I think there's some that go too far with it, but I would argue overall that it's a valid thing to consider, is that the true need for a full 4-year college degree or beyond, the true necessity of that in every career for every individual, that is becoming less and less relevant as time goes on. I always say, hey, look, if you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or nurse or whatever, okay, yeah, I see like why you would need these things. But, I look at, again, grateful for my time in college, but I have absolutely zero credentials for what I do now. If anything, if I could change anything, as far as about what I learned, I value my biblical education, but I wish I could have learned more about business, about marketing and things that I'm actually doing now. Just been all self-taught along the way. That's all worked out.
Sure, yeah.
But so I think that's I would like to get your insight on this idea of, I guess the most blunt, broad way of asking it is college, as we know it, as far as a degree, asking the college university president here, is college for everyone, and will it be in 10, 15, 20 years from now?
Yeah, so my first answer is I sure hope not. then after that, I come with the idea of, while some fields it might be less relevant to get a degree, I don't think it'll ever be truly obsolete. I think there's value in the well-rounding of Christian leaders. When I was 18 years old, it's like, I just want to preach the Bible. Why do I have to take a history class? Why do I have to take an English class? I've had English all through high school and junior high. I've spoken it my whole life. I remember thinking of these things, But the idea of being cultured and well-rounded and learning in these different fields of humanity, it makes me a better communicator because I have a deeper well to pick from. Yeah. So I don't think those were wasted. I just didn't see the value of it at the moment. So I think as Christian leaders that are maybe a little bit further down the line, the person who's just getting started, we have to communicate the value. This comes back to something you said earlier about why people should even pursue degrees. when I was teaching, like when you were there and a student in my class, I'm not sure if I had started advanced degrees at that point, but I remember, you know, perhaps maybe pridefully even thinking, boy, these 18-year-olds, they just don't even know what they don't know. And I'm here to help them learn, right? But I never connected the dots to those who had the master's and the MDivs and the terminal degrees. I don't even know personally what I don't know. And so I'm glad somebody challenged me to learn what I don't know. And that creates this mindset of always learning. Hopefully not ever learning and able to come to the knowledge of truth, but always learning to be better equipped. So I think there's always going to be a need for degrees. But I think in some fields, I think the credentialing may be enough for some.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I think, again, like you're saying, I think it goes back to mindset of I don't really care who you are or what field you're in. If you're in ministry, if you're in secular work, whatever it may be, if you want to continue to develop and grow as an individual, you have to, in some way, somehow have a mindset of learning and education. And especially for, again, those church leaders and ministry leaders in our audience, even if, like you said, you're getting, I love, again, going back to your copyrighted term, micro-credentialing, you know, if you're just getting, you know, I'm going to get that certification in biblical studies or whatever it is. And who knows, maybe that sparks an interest for you to yeah. roll it into a full-on degree. Something though, because I think about what, I don't know, like getting degrees and, you know, is not all about, you know, having the diplomas to hang on your wall and whatever, but I do think about what that could speak to your congregation of, yeah. you know, oh, hey, you know, I, and not to say that you would openly brag on it, but just somehow it's just known. It's just understood that, hey, your pastor is always educating himself and, hey, I just picked up a certification in apologetics or whatever yeah. it may be. You may never be able to get the doctorate or the MDiv or whatever, but you can always be learning in one yeah. way or another.
I live here in New England now. That's where I live. I live in Connecticut, and Connecticut has a big emphasis on education. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to stand up at a church or behind a pulpit and presume to teach, it's important for them to know that I believe in education and I'm yeah. still learning and I put the time into.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a whole other topic we talk about is the cultural emphasis, because, you know, I'm here in the South and, you know, we have our reputation is we're all stupid anyways. Right. But yes, there in Connecticut, I mean,
I grew up in Georgia, so I'm not touching it.
Well, there in Connecticut, you know, you've got Harvard and why am I
Yale
and MIT, you know, you've got these big institutions in that area. And so that's definitely something that your culture to be considered there as well. But no matter what, having that mindset of education, I think, is one of the key takeaways of what we've talked about today. Well, we have had now another great conversation here. And I really do think that this is going to greatly benefit those in our audience that are watching and listening. As we kind of round things out, though, you have any parting words of wisdom, additional insight before we sign off here?
Any additional words of wisdom? I think I may have shared every bit of wisdom I have in the last two episodes. So if I had to sum it up, I would just say, just keep going.
Hey, I like it. By the way, we didn't do this in the last episode you were on, but I always make sure to plug it into, you know, the description, the show notes. How can we, though, just so we can actually have it spoken out there, what's the best, if somebody wanted to reach out to you, connect with you, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. Mike Lester at vbc.edu, VBC as in Veritas Baptist College. Reach out to my website that's personally designed by this guy named Luke Clayton at jmichaellester.com. And then our college website is vbc.edu. They can also contact us there as well.
Okay. Well, thanks again for being with us again. Great conversation. And
I've enjoyed it.
We'll do this again sometime.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks to our watching, those watching and listening. Thanks for joining us. And we'll see you in the next episode.
We are so glad you joined us for this episode. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you may listen to podcasts. Also, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star review and share this podcast with your friends. You can connect with us online at mustincrease.com. And if you'd like a topic or question to be featured on a future episode, send us a text to 615-900-4461. Thanks again for joining us for this episode, and we look forward to seeing you next time as we continue to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others right here on the Must Increase podcast.